Amen. Amen. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. In other words, be silent to God. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The psalmist repeats his exhortation in the first two verses in the latter part of verse 7. Beloved, going through it again this last week with everything that you're seeing in the media and around the world, it's hard for me to believe that there's a more relevant passage of Scripture for the moment we're living in than Psalm 37. Because with all the wickedness and evilness and immorality in the world, and it's ever increasing, it's a real danger and temptation for us as believers to begin fretting and envying the evildoers and workers of iniquity. You look at the news and the broadcast and the tolerance the world is teaching everyone to be tolerant towards sin. You consider all the things that's going on in the world. Sometimes as believers we are in danger of fretting, being angry or upset, being afraid or envying the evildoers and workers of iniquity. Every day when I drive to work, it's kind of amazing in the gas stations. You have the Super Lottery and the Megapot or whatever it's called. I don't know what all their names are. But how it tempts everyone to go out and spend money to win a lottery. I've got to win that $400 and $500 million. I remember years ago it used to be maybe a couple hundred thousand, maybe a million. Now they're talking $400 or $500 million, and the world's going crazy trying to get rich. Beloved, if you think the world cannot influence us as believers, then you're not trying to live the Christian life as you ought to. Because it just seems when we try to walk that straight and narrow way that our adversary just seems to want to throw more and more in our path. The message in Psalm 37 aren't for those who stick their head in the sand as Christians and just are content being Sunday churchgoers. But it's for those who are diligently trying to live the Christian life, struggling. It's the afflicted believer here who's trying his best by God's grace to live for God, to do the right thing in a world that lieth in wickedness, that sees all these things and are touched by all these things. If you stick in your head in the sand, if you're not really that diligent for the Lord, then you're right along with the rest of them on the Broadway, and it doesn't really bother you and it doesn't really trouble you. You try to live the Christian life, it's a real danger. Real danger which David himself felt and described in great detail in Psalm 73. Look at Psalm 73 with me real quick. Psalm 73. David, a man after God's own heart, struggled with this. This whole psalm deals with this. Psalm 73. Listen to the words of God, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are a clean heart. You see, David admits God's good, but watch this. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps were well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I would speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was painful for me. Until I went to the house, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. I'm not going to read the rest, but look at the latter verse, the last verse in this psalm. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. You see how David started that psalm? A man after God's own heart. He said, I was envious when I look around. They prosper. They get everything they want. They lash out against heaven. They do what they want in the earth. It seems like they're not touched by troubles and afflictions. I've washed my hands in vain. I've tried to live the Christian life in vain. I'm struggling to do all this, and they seem to be getting rewarded for all their evilness and all their wickedness. And David says, I was pained by this thought, that they are living so prosperous and well while I'm struggling as a believer, until I went into the sanctuary. It's all they're in. And he closes it. It's good for me to draw nigh to God, to trust in Him. Sounds like Psalm 37, doesn't it? Love, this temptation is real, and the danger is devastating to the believer's confidence, faith, and hope in God. Therefore, like David, let us draw nigh to God and trust in Him. And it's in these first seven verses of Psalm 37 that we find five fundamental truths on how we as believers can do that. And the fifth exhortation is the very pinnacle and perfection of faith and trust in God. Listen to this verse, verse 7 of Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord. He's went from trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit thy ways unto the Lord. It's almost like this seventh verse is the pinnacle of all these three. The fruits, the effects, the rewards of all these three is we'll find rest in the Lord and we'll wait patiently for Him. Beloved, of all the comforts and of all the blessings faith gives a child of God, this is the very pinnacle, the perfection of faith. Resting in God and waiting patiently for Him. That's faith in its excellence. And it's not easily achieved. It's not easily given. It requires much grace, coupled with a lot of trials and temptations, teaching us about faith to finally come to this portion, this perfection of faith. And beloved, it's something that every child of God should desire to know more of. Resting in the Lord, waiting patiently on Him. One may speak well of faith, and many do. One may profess to be able to move mountains. Yet until it has led us into this perfection, namely resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for Him, our faith is yet in its youth. People talk a lot about faith, but you really want to see the quality of our faith? Let God put us in a very trying and difficult situation and see if we can still rest in Him and wait patiently for Him. Remember when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, Moses, this way you got to take. God told him where to go. God got him to the point where He wanted him. He had him at the Red Sea with a big Red Sea in front of him, mountains on both sides of him, and the Egyptians driving hard behind him. They're trapped. They can't go nowhere. There's nowhere to go according to physical logic and reasoning. We're stuck in between these mountains, the river, the Red Sea in front of us, and Pharaoh behind us wanting to kill us. We're stuck. You know what God told Moses? Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's faith as perfection. When we, by faith, can learn to be silent, rest in the Lord, to be silent to the Lord. And that's exactly what this means. It means to be silent to the Lord. This phrase is only used once in Scripture. You won't find rest in the Lord anywhere, that phrase, anywhere else except here. One time. And it literally, like I said, it literally means to be silent to the Lord. What does that mean? No matter what situation you find yourself in, don't murmur. Don't complain.
Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Be silent to God. Be still, my soul. It's that old hymn we sing. It's the pinnacle of faith. This is what it is. Be still and know. Acknowledge that He's God. Be still and acknowledge. Be still and know that I'm God. To quietly submit to His will. To rest satisfied in all His providences for my life. Whatever happens, to rest satisfied in. And listen to that. There's a lot of things in life that our flesh is not satisfied with. Because it can be very painful. But faith teaches us to go above reason and logic. You know what that faith is? Faith is above reason and logic and enables us to rest or be silent to God and rest in whatever God's given us. Let me read this to you. I think I have it in this song. The poem in the early 1800s, Madame Guyon, after 10 years spent in a dungeon lying far below the surface of the ground and lit only by a candle at mealtime, this is back in the 17th century, wrote this poem. Listen to it. A little bird I am, shut from the fields of air, yet in my cage I sit and sing to Him who placed me there. Well pleased a prisoner to be, because my God it pleases thee. Not have I else to do, I sing the whole day long, and He whom most I love to please doth listen to my song. He caught and bound my wandering wing, but still He bends to hear me sing. My cage confines me round, abroad I cannot fly, but though my wing is closely bound, my heart's at liberty. My prison walls cannot control the flight, the freedom of the soul. And lastly, oh, it is good to soar these bolts and bars above, to Him whose purpose I adore, whose providence I love, and in Thy mighty will to find the joy, the freedom of the mind. It's an amazing story if you ever read it. It's almost as good as Mary Bunyan, the blind daughter of John Bunyan, who wrote Amazing Grace. If you can ever get a hold of that book, and I've got it, you need to read it. She was blind and living in the time of the Black Plague in Europe, and it's an amazing testimony. I've never known anybody who hasn't read that and been touched by that story of Mary Bunyan. But this was that woman. She was content to God. You said, that's weird. That's hard to understand. How could she be happy in a dungeon lit only by a candle at mealtime and still be content with God's will? She knew what it was to rest in the Lord. I'm not saying that we should all have that ability. I'm not saying that we'd all have that kind of faith. But that was a perfect example of what the psalmist is talking about. Be silent to God. Look at Psalm 46. This is what faith does. This is what we should all long for as God's children, to achieve, to be able to know something of resting in God. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And be still in God and say, and know that I'm God. What's that mean? Let me tell you what that means. Remember in Sunday school, we were talking about being skilled in the Word of God, and how last week I even mentioned it, that one of my responsibilities as pastor is not to get you to follow the words I say, but to get you to love and study this book like nothing else in the world. To get you to Christ, to see Him, to love Him, and love this book like nothing else. To study it like there's nothing more important in the world than to know of its truth. To get to know it and learn it so that when you face something in life, you turn to God and not man for your comfort. You turn to God for strength and not man. You turn to God for guidance and wisdom and not the wisdom of men. That's the whole important thing of the preacher's responsibility. To direct you to God. Be still and know that I'm God. Think, contemplate. Acknowledge that I'm God. Sometimes in our troubles, we don't stop and think long enough who we're serving and who is our God. We're looking at our troubles, like Peter on the troubled sea. As soon as he took his eyes off Christ,
And looked at the waves, he began to sink. We look at our troubles and we begin to sink. We don't do that. You must always start with God. Always start with God. In every trial and trouble, I'm telling you, this is something I had to learn the hard way, and I'm still learning it. When anything happens in your life, even the severest trials and troubles, start with God. So you start with God, all your troubles begin to get weakened, small. Be still. Know that I'm God. Stop. Quiet your spirit. Meditate on Scripture. So many times as believers we get in trouble, we don't meditate on Scripture. We don't stop and be still and meditate on the Word of God. We're too busy concentrating on our troubles. And the few verses we know don't bring us much comfort. I know it says all things work together for good, but you know, God's Word is like medicine. You've got to be able to take it, and you need to apply it like they do, like a pharmacist does. You've got to be able to take the bad and good things of your life and apply them to the Word of God and know what to do with it. You've got to know these things. God, I don't know if I'll make it through this. I'm tired and I'm weak. Lo, the psalmist said, Your Word quickened me. Now, Your Word quickened me. Lord, I don't know. I'm getting weary in my pilgrimage. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You got to be able to take the Word of God and really apply it. Not just intellectually, but to know something of it. It's got to be engrafted, Jim says. Engrafted in your heart. Scripture should be a major portion of your life, of my life. You've got to be still and know that I'm God. Job, talking about it Sunday school, chapter 1, when all those things happened, even before he got sick, said he bowed down to worship God, and he didn't complain that it's gone on. And he accused God falsely. He bowed down to worship. What did he do? He began to be still and acknowledge God. Be still and know. Be still and know that I'm God. You gotta know that I'm God. Well, I know He's God. No, you're not still enough. You're not still. You need to be still. Wait. Design your will, your life, your lot to God. Give it over to Him. Live in assured expectation that God shall surely deliver and save. Quiet submission to God and His Word is to rest or be silent to the Lord. Psalm 39 says this. Let me quote it. You can turn there if you like. Psalm 39:9. It was David again. David said these words. Listen to them because they're very important. He said, I was dumb. Not ignorant, or I hate to use the word stupid, but that's not what he's talking about. He said, I was dumb. That means silent. I was silent. I didn't say anything. I opened not my mouth. I didn't murmur. I didn't complain. You know why? Four words. Because thou didst. I was dumb, silent. I didn't open my mouth. I didn't complain and murmur because I was assured in my heart that you did. Just like Madame Guyon in a prison, lit only with a candle during meal times. Rested in God. That's what God wanted. Because she knew God. God could do anything. God's capable of anything. And if God wanted me here, then I'm going to rest in that. And she found a song in her soul for the fact that she was where God wanted her. She was in God's perfect will. Beloved, we look at that and we think, that's terrible. Be silent to God. And that's what God wants. Think about it. This is what God wants. Listen to me. This is what God wants. God wants us to trust in Him in such a way and fashion that though the world around us is crumbling and falling, we can submit to Him, be silent to Him, and rest in Him. Rest in who He is, what He's capable of, what He can do. And then you start thinking about the different attributes of God. That's what you have to do. That's why I encourage you to read the attribute. W.E. Pink's best book in the world on it. Short, read it. I guarantee you, it'll inspire you to get in the Bible. You begin thinking about God's knowledge.
He knows all things. There's not one thing in the world He don't know. He knows everything. He's all wise. His wisdom is great. He's wise. Wiser than Solomon could ever dream to be. He's all wise. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He can do whatever He wants. You and I, we desire something. We want something, but we don't always have the power to see that fulfilled, do we? It's not so with God. If God wants something, He has the power to do it. And God knows exactly what you and I need. He knows our deepest hearts and our affections. He knows what we need. He knows with wisdom how to do it. And He knows with power how to achieve it. And that is what gives us strength and confidence. That's how we can be silent to God. God, Your will is perfect. No matter how I see it, Your will is perfect.